Good morning. Today's daf in Mesechtani is daf Nun Zayin. That's not where we are, but that's what the daf is today. We're going to do a little more catch up today. We've been catching up progressively over the past couple of days. We're in the seventh parak of Mesechtani, and really not a lot of Mishnayos. The Mishnah basically points to the following. That there are certain things that give off tumah. Dama nida is one of the things that's an avatumah. So when a woman has her menstrual flow, so they're talking about the actual blood itself, not the woman. So it's an avatumah, it's a source of tumah. And the Mishnah says it's metamet lach v'yavesh. It's whether it comes out wet or whether it comes out dry. It comes out in liquid or solid form, it does not matter, it's an avatumah. And the only other object that has that kind of characteristic is basar hames. Flesh of human remains is also going to be metamet lach v'yavesh. That's what we saw back in the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah points to a whole host of things that are only metamilach, that are only going to give off tumah when they are in liquid form, or moist, I should say, not liquid form. So Zov, Nea, Rok, we're going to go through each one of these as we go through the Gemara. We're now on Nunheim at Beis, 155b, and we start with the words Veharok. Okay, so we're going to go now through the other things mentioned in the Mishnah. So we're talking now about the spit. Now, Roka is a mayan. It's one of the well springs, so to say, of a person. So if a person's an avatoma, meaning the person's a zav, so the spit that comes out of his mouth is going to be an avatoma. So how do I know that? So Rok, minalan detanya v'chia Rok. It's the Torah. The pasuk says, "Yachafa pishlo naga tamalomer b'tahar ad shiyiga b'tahar." So the Gemara says it needs contact. So if a zav were to expectorate? So if a zav were to expectorate and the that spittle lands on somebody else or on something else, so it's going to become tummy. How do I know all those other wonderful things that come out of the person's mouth? We're talking here about mucus, we're talking about phlegm. Meha af. Okay, all the other good stuff that comes out. Minayin tamalomer v'chia rok. So the Gemara says v'chia rok. It seems to be a drasha. Seems to be a ribui. So the Gemara says, Amar Yachlaf Abishalo Naga Mehechatesi. Now the Gemara says, there's a Havamina, it was rejected, but a Havamina, that the person's going to become Tameh, even if there was no contact. The Gemara says, even as a Havamina, it's very strange. So Sakadat Chamina, Nelav Rok Rok Miyavama. So the Gemara says, well, I'll explain to you the Havamina, because we have another area in Halacha where someone needs to expectorate, and that's by the Yavama. Now, the Yavama, one of the biggest misconceptions, not the biggest, but a big misconception is that she spits in the shoe. It's not true, it's not accurate. She takes off the shoe. There is a removal of the shoe, but there's spitting. Spitting is into his general direction.
In front of him.
In front of him. Perfect. But the spit doesn't actually have to hit him. In fact, there's no requirement of the spit having to actually hit him. Spit just simply is spitting in his general direction. So the maybe. So now I know, so I see the other area in Halacha and Shas where there's this requirement of spitting, and that's by Yavama. And we know by the Yavama there is no requirement to actually hit your target, just spit in your general direction of your target. So the Gemara says that's why it's a Havamina. Again, we're going to reject it, but at least just as a Havamina, I might have thought that the spit of a Zav is the same thing.
And
Kamash Malani.
What chi is implying? The chi is implying.
No, just the rok itself. Not even up to the part of the chi. Meaning the Gemara's analysis right now is on the first statement of that Braisa, which is Yachal. I might have thought. I might have thought that there does not need to be contact. So the Gemara says, good. We know that when you have the spit of a Zav, it gives off Tumah in one of two ways. Both Bemaga uvimasa, both contact and carry. And the Gemara's question is very simple right now. How do I know it encompasses both? Maybe it's only Maga, not Masa. So the Gemara says, Amr Shlokish Tan Debe Rav Yishmol, Amakra, Bitahor, Mashbiyat Tahor, Temetilach, Mashbiyat Tahor, Temetilach. So the Gemara quotes from what is this, a Braisa? Okay, let's say it's a Braisa. Okay, the even that which is in your hand, meaning if you're carrying it, it's going to be tame. Ve'ema b'masa b'metame adam v'gadim b'maga adam l'tame b'gadim l'tame mida dehave amaga nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, but even in carrying, there are different degrees. There are varying degrees of a person becoming tame. Either he can become tame, or he and the clothing that he's wearing becomes tame. Now, in the world of nevela, we know that you become tame, but not your clothing. Right? It's not to that degree that you're going to become tame. So perhaps maga of zav, roka zav, is only going to make a person tame, only he, but not his clothing as well. Amar Shlakish, v'chein tan debei Rishmol, amakra, bitar tahara, shiha tiharta lach b'makam achir, timet lach kan. V'ezah says, v'em maga nevela. So the Gemara says, no, because that halach is limited to only maga nevela. V'ema kemasa de sheretz. The Gemara says, well, maybe it's talking about carrying a sheretz which doesn't give tumah off at all. Imkei nechtor kra ba'adam, mai bitar shma min atarte. So the Gemara says, two halachas to be derived over here. Number one, it gives off tumas maga and tumas masa, and number two, it's going to make you tummy and the clothing that you're wearing tummy as well. May ha'af. The Gemara continues now. So again, we're talking about all the, not all, but a lot of the secretions that come out of a zav. So if a man's a zav, which means now he's an avatama, so secretions as well is going to be tummy. So what we just discussed is the roke, is the spit. So that's a pasuk. The pasuk says that spit comes out of his mouth is going to be tummy. Now we're going to talk about all the other wonderful liquids that come out of him. Meha'af. So the Gemara says, mucus. Mucus that comes out of the nose. So my me'af, amarav, b'nigron derech ha'peh. So the Gemara says that it's mucus in the nose that ends up coming out through the mouth. Okay? So in other words, it didn't come out through the nose, it comes out through the mouth. Lefi she'i efshar le'me'af alo sikhsuch erok. Why? Because even when there is a good amount of mucus coming out of the mouth, or phlegm, or whatever you want to call it, there's got to be a little bit of spit. Meaning, yes, it's true, there's mucus, but there's some spit mixed in as well. Now, v'Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, afilu b'nigran derech achotam. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if that mucus comes out through the nose, it's going to be an avatuma. Amar kasavar mayanhu, v'rachman rabbiye. So what we have over here is really a fundamental machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan in terms of how to categorize mucus. Okay? I know these are funny sentences coming out of my mouth, but there is a fundamental machlokes. Whereas according to Rav, the mucus itself is not really a mayan. It's not a wellspring. It is not going to give off any type of tuma. Okay, but if you touch the mucus, you're going to become tame. So according to Rav, it's very simple because there's got to be some spit mixed in. But that means, and Rob pretty much said it, that the mucus has to come out through the mouth. Meaning if the mucus just comes out of the nose, so then it's fine. But if it comes out through the mouth, there's got to be some rook mixed in with it, some spit mixed in with it, and therefore it's tame. Rav Yochanan fundamentally disagrees. Rav Yochanan says no, that the mei ha'af is actually a mayan, and therefore is going to give off tuma. Gemara challenges, v'rav nachshav nami dimasei no. Now the Gemara says, now Rav, if you're incorporating the Meha'af, if you believe that the Meha'af is a source of tumah, why? Because there's going to be some spit mixed in, so tears as well. You should say the same thing by tears. Why? Now, Da'ama Rav. Now, when we say tears, by the way, we don't mean tears coming out of the eye. Tears coming out of the eye, as we'll learn later on, is not an avatumah. It's not a ma'ayan. But what the Gemara now is suggesting is that according to Rav, when the tears go down through, and you got to really speak to ENTs for this, but it goes down through the sinuses, down into the mouth, the tears can come out via the mouth, and they should also be a source of tumah as well.
Now the Gemara has to be generating and it has to collect somewhere.
We're gonna give good definitions in today's daf. So Haiman Damai Deliftame La'ine Lichame Ove Kochab. The Gemara says, look, a person, if he wants to become blind, so here's what you do. Have this kol. Kol comes up in the Gemara time and again. It's some sort of eye application. I'm not sure how exactly it's applied, but it's like an ointment that's put on the eye. So, and it was very popular, and the Gemara speaks about it at varying times. And the Gemara says, here's a good way to get blind. Have it applied by a guy. Now, whether the guy is doing it on purpose or it's just, his is very, it, it, it just, It's very harsh. I'm not really sure. But whatever the details are, point being, is that if you want to become blind, so have this chol applied by a guy. And a levi says, I'll tell you what, you want to get blind now? You want to die? So then have this ointment applied by a guy. Now, why does Rav not worry that you're going to die? Meaning, according to Rav, you're only going to get blind. Okay, what's only? Why aren't you going to die? So the Gemara says, "My time is Rav." So the low Amr Haiman to buy the lemos hol v'yachol legaran ula otzian derech hapeh, because even though this ointment is toxic and it's poisonous, and even though yes, it could cause death, but when the ointment is placed into the eye and when it drains down into the down the body, what you could do is you could extract it out of the mouth. So you see that according to Rav, that there is communication between the eye ducts and the mouth, and it can come out via the mouth. And so essentially what the Gemara's question is the following. Look, the meha'af, right, the mucus in the nose, according to Rav, is going to be a mayan. How so? Because it's going to run down into the mouth, and it's going to come out via the mouth with some spit. Okay, that's Rav's opinion. So the Gemara says, but if that's his opinion, shouldn't we say the same thing by tears? Meaning tears also, based on what we just learned, also runs down through the mouth, out of the mouth. And so therefore, as much as me'a'af is going to be an avatumah, so too should the tears as well. V'rav, nihi dezir nafak, demasa gufalo nafak. So Rav says like this. Now, look, the only thing I could do is really save the person from death. Meaning, there is some parts of that ointment that can be extracted. I.e., the poison of the ointment can be extracted through the mouth. I don't fully understand this, but that's fine. The tear itself, however, is not extractable. Meaning, when the tear goes down and it goes down the mouth, it doesn't exit the mouth. It gets absorbed into the mouth. In other words, the tear simply doesn't come out. So there's nothing to talk about regarding the actual tear. Okay, Tashma. So again, now let's go over, because really, we are in a fundamental debate. Rav's of the opinion that your mucus that is in your nose is not a mayan, and Rav Yochanan is of the opinion it is a mayan. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's hear the following. This should sound familiar. We've done this before. We're going to basically talk about bodily secretions, bodily fluids, and we're going to break it into three categories. Category one is it's nothing. Category two is it's a drink. It's a mashka. It's not going to be an avatoma, but it'll be a mashke. It'll be a rishon. And then category number three is it's a mayan. It is a wellspring, and it's going to be an avatoma. Okay. And for each category, we're going to have three things. So three categories, three things, nine in total. Tisha mashkin hazav hain. So there are basically nine liquids going to be divided into three groups. Group number one, ze'alecha srucha v'harei. Okay, so group number one is perspiration. Perspiration, that's nothing. Even though it is a secretion, it's a bodily secretion, but that's nothing. Lecha pus. And rea, and of course that's excrement. These are tahorin miklum. So if a zav secretes any of these things, they are nothing. Categorically, not tame. Period.
Not even if it's...
Right. Dimas eino, vidam magapaso, v'chalav ha'isha. Now, tears, blood of a cut, and milk produced by a woman, so betam and tumas mashkin, birvis. So that gives off tumas mashkin. Tumas mashkin means that it itself is not an avatama, but because it made contact with the zav as it exited the zav or zava's body, so it will be a rishon. Right? It came into contact, and it's a liquid. And aval, zova roko meme raglav, but the actual ziva, meaning that's the actual discharge that's coming out of the male organ, or in the case of a woman, that's the blood that's coming out of the woman, out of her private area, roko is her spit, or his spit, meme raglav, urine, metamata mechamura. That's metamata mechamura, meaning that's an avatama. Good. So in this brisa, what we're able to do is have three different secretion types, three examples of each, and that's the brisa. And the brisa is very clear. Now you'll notice the brisa didn't talk about mucus. The brisa did not mention mucus as any in any part. Now, Bisham al Rav lo ketani de lo psik alei lemifnei zimin dasi derech apev zimin dasi derech achotan. Now, according to Rav, right, we understand. It depends. If it comes out via the nose, it's nothing, according to Rav, because it's not a mayan. If it comes out through the mouth, so then it's going to be an avatuma, but simply because there is spit included in that. So from Rav's perspective, you kind of understand why it's not mentioned. But for Rav Yochanan, the question is very strong. Why is it not mentioned? Why is the mucus mentioned in this list? Look, the list is very, very encompassing. It's talking about perspiration. It's talking about excrement. Right? It's talking about basically every human bodily secretion. Right, people juice, as they say. So why not mention the mucus? So El Rav Yochanan Lisnei Ulatamech Kechav No Miketan. And the Gemara does point out, you know, phlegm is also not mentioned over here. So, and to me, phlegm mucus, it's all the same. But okay, whatever. The phlegm is not mentioned. And by the way, the Mishnah mentions Neo, right? This phlegm. So the Gemara says, how come this Brisa didn't mention Neo? Ela Tana Roko v'chol da'asami ribuye. Hachanami Tani Roko v'chol da'asami ribuye. So the Gemara says, look, it's like, you know, by Shabbos you have, you know, Avos and Tolados, the main category and the subcategories. Here also in this Brisa, when the Brisa says the word Roke, it doesn't just mean spit. It means spit and all and everything else coming out of that, the facial area, including the mucus, including the phlegm. All that good stuff. Okay. As long as we quoted the Braisa, okay, and Adkan and the Gemara pretty much ends the discussion over here. Obviously, we're going to go on. But basically now, Machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan, how to categorize mucus. Is it itself a Mayan? Rav Yochanan says yes. Rav says no. Okay. According to both positions, by the way, when the mucus comes out through the mouth, it's going to be an avatoma. But varying reasons. According to Rav Yochanan, because it's a Mayan, and according to Rav, because there's got to be some spit mixed in. Practical difference between the two of them would be when the mucus comes out just directly out of the nose. According to Rav, it's nothing, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's an avatama. Okay. There are three other liquids that were mentioned in this Brisa that we said are mashke, meaning that there are drinkable liquids the moment they come off the body. Some of them intuitively understand, some of them are more difficult to understand. What we said are the three drinking liquids that come out of a human body. So the tears, milk, okay, that we get, and blood of a cut. Okay. So, I said some of them are intuitive and some of them are not. So the Gemara says, Dimas eno dichsiv, vatashkema b'dimos shlish. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim talking about drinking the tears. V'dam ha-kabas ha-dichsev, v'dam chalam yishteh, right, last week's Parsha, 2 weeks ago. So the, right, Parsha's Balak. So you drink the dam chalalam, right, blood of a wound. So ma'li kale kule, ma'li kale paga. Now, that's talking about drinking the blood of the person that you slay. Not that the Torah is endorsing, not that the Torah is condoning. It is an expression, but it's an expression used in the Torah, so you see that it has some drinking element to it. Correct. In other words, like we're just, right, agreed. We're labeling it as a mashke, even though the Torah is not endorsing its drinking, but we're just simply saying, but it is a mashke. And even though over there it's talking about killing, and over here we're just talking about a cut, but you know, when you get a paper cut, that's really the beginning of death. I mean, essentially, is what the Gemara says. And chalav ha'isha dichsiv v'tiftach es nor ha'chalav v'tashkeyu. And it's funny, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shoftim, right? This is by Yael giving Sisera the milk. That's not talking breast milk, that's talking regular milk. But, okay, but still, I guess the basic point is that, okay, it's drinkable. Meme raglav minalan. Now, also one of the things that we mentioned is that the urine that comes out of a zav is an avatoma, right? That's category number three. It's an avatoma. So meme raglav minalan detanya zav avatoma vizos larabos meme raglav latoma. So the Gemara quotes a drasha. All right, vizos. The Gemara says drasha. Why do I need a drasha? V'halo dinu umarok abam mimakum tahara tame. Meme raglav abay mimakom tame eno din shiu tameim. Gemara attempts to make a logical argument that we would have figured out urine on our own. Look, where does urine come from? So it comes from the same place that the actual ziva comes from. So the Gemara says, look, let's make the following argument. If spit that comes out of your mouth, now your mouth is not a source of tuma, right? And spit that comes out of the person's mouth is tame. So urine that comes out of the same place where the tuma comes out of, so shouldn't the urine be tame? That's the din. That's the logical argument the Gemara tries to make. So the Gemara says, not such a great argument. So look, a person has some sort of infection and he's bleeding out of his private area. So is that bleeding going to be tame? And the answer is no. Unequivocally no. It's not going to be an avatuma. So I can break your kal v'chomer by simply pointing out not everything that comes out of the man's privates is going to be tame. So
you're, it's not even tame at all. Right.
It is.
The spit is not an avatuma.
Spit is an avatuma. So it's okay. So the Gemara is showing us that this kavah chomer is not such a good kavah chomer. So tamalomer zavatame. I'm sorry. So shabbat mimakom tuma yetar tamalomer zavatame v'zos l'rabos meme raglav l'tuma. Okay, fine. So we have a drasha. So the Gemara leaves it off as a drasha. Now the Gemara says, look, as long as we talked about it, so a man is bleeding, right? He has an infection and he's bleeding out of his private area. That blood that comes out is not an avatuma. Not an avatuma. It's a mashka.
Right, okay.
But it's not an avatuma.
It's nothing.
It's from a man, blood coming out of a man's organ is nothing. So it's not an, let me say it like this, it's not an avatuma.
Big deal.
Correct. It is right. Right. You might need to seek medical attention, but it's in the world of tuma, it's not an avatuma. The Italian, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Yachlo ye dama yotzmi piv umipia ama tamein tamalam rezovo tame. Who tame vein dama yotzmi piv umipia ama tame? No, it has to specifically be either spit coming out of the mouth or urine coming out of his organ. But blood coming out of either is not an avatuma. Elatar the epochana. The Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, why don't we say the opposite? Why don't we say that it's not the spit that comes out of the mouth? The Gemara suggests, what if the person has blood coming out of his mouth? So I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shemem Ben Yochai, Dom Yedarok, Marok Shemitagel VeYotze, Av Kol Shemitagel VeYotze, Yatsa Dom Shein Mitagel VeYotze. So the Gemara over here gives us the qualification. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. We're seeing it again now. What defines the Ma'ayan? Meaning we've spoken about this time and again throughout the Masechta. There are things called Ma'ayanot. Wellsprings that come from a human body, where when the person's Tamei, so that which comes out is going to be Tamei as well. So we've identified spit. The Torah says spit. So what we're going to look at is that the chief characteristic of the spit, whatever its chief characteristic is going to be our launching point to define what is a Ma'ayan. So Rok is mit'agel v'yotze. It first accumulates in the mouth, and then you can expectorate. Wonderful. Dam is ein mit'agel v'yotze. There is no accumulation of the blood, and then it comes out. Blood just simply discharges, it just simply emerges. Now the Gemara says, okay, but if your criteria of what a Ma'ayan is that it's mit'agel, accumulates, and then it comes out, so the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the woman and her breast milk. So the Gemara says, remember earlier we said it's not a Ma'ayan, but based on our criteria, shouldn't it be? The Amar Mar Chal Shabisha Nitma Tumas Mashkin, Tumas Mashkin in Avalo Tumachamura. Ella Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Dum Yedarok Marok Mitagov Yotze V'Chozer V'Nivla Av Kol Mitagov Yotze V'Chozer V'Nivla. So the Gemara says we're gonna go one step further in our definition. What is a Ma'ayan? So now the Gemara says it's really going to be two criteria. Number one, you have this criteria of being mitagel; it's going to accumulate. And number two is that if possible, it's going to reabsorb. So in other words, what you can have spit accumulating in your mouth. Now, you could either expectorate, or if you want to, you could swallow. So in other words, it doesn't necessarily need to come out. But if something accumulates and then by definition needs to come out, that's not a Mayan. So the Gemara describes that the Chal of Isha is Misagel. The Gemara says, I'll give you that. It does accumulate. But then there's no reabsorption. It then must come out. Yotze Adam Shein Mitagel V'Yotze Yotze Chalav Shavisha Sha'afa Bisha Mitagel V'Yotze Einer Chozer V'Nivla. Okay. The Nelef Mizova, the Gemara says, okay. So we have just defined a Mayan. And we've given a very good definition of Mayan. And now we have a good understanding of what is and what isn't a Mayan. Good. The Gemara says, why did spit become the prototype? Meaning, if maybe what we could have done is, instead of looking at spit as being the prototype, why don't we look at the actual ziva discharge? Meaning, it's that which is making the person tummy anyway, so why didn't that become the prototype? So, ma zova she'ein mit'agav yotze mit'am afkol, and the Gemara says, and look, and the ziva discharge, now, as you know, I always struggle trying to identify what that actually is. It's not semen. It's some sort of discharge coming out of the male organ, something akin to gonorrhea, but not really sure. But whatever the case is, it's eno mitagel v'yotzei. So that doesn't first accumulate and then comes out, it just simply comes out. So instead of spit being the prototype, why doesn't the ziva discharge become the prototype? So leik lamelev shekein gorim tomalacher. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. It can't be the prototype. Because it's the cause. Meaning that when the man has a zav discharge, it causes him to become tamei. So then it can't be the prototype. Because we're looking for something that is a mayan, that's a wellspring, after he becomes tamei. Right. So if it's what affects him to be tamei, that can't be the prototype of a mayan. It has to be something where after it becomes tamei, we know that it comes out of his body, and we know that's an avatama, and spit, which the Torah actually labels as a mayan, is going to be our prototype. And therefore, the criteria of what a mayan is going to be learned from spit, not the actual ziva discharge. Okay, ad kan, meaning that we have now in our Gemara a very precise definition of what a mayan is. A mayan of a zav is an avatoma, and the criteria, what defines a mayan, is going to be that's misagel v'yotze. It first accumulates before it leaves the body, and also has a chance of reabsorption. So that's spit. And anything akin to spit, there are only two other things which are labeled as a ma'ayan. And that is the meraglaim, that's the urine, and it's the zova. It's funny now. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Urine has to come up.
Huh? Urine can't be reabsorbed. Right.
But urine's not there.
Not prepared to argue with you, doctor. But you know, it's a fair point. It's a very fair point. And the ziva, you see, I don't know if ziva really is labeled as mayan, meaning ziva is the cause of tuma, so maybe it doesn't fall under the mayan category. You're right. So maybe we're down to two, with a very good question asked by the doctor. Okay. Anyway. Okay. And everything else is in some other camp, meaning breast milk and bleeding of a cut. So those are mashkin, excrement, perspiration. That's nothing. Okay. Moving on. Sheretz.
Question: isn't there a very
pasuk
like this? Mayanu boru umikvei.
Yeah, but that's talking about an actual wellspring. We're speaking mayan in terms of wellsprings of a person. Meaning, right, things that are liquids that are emanating out of the human body. Right, people juice, as I so beautifully put it earlier this morning. Moving on, Vasheretz. Now, Amar Yishlak Yisheretz, Shiyavesh Vishildo Kem is Tameh. Now, Sheretz. In order for the Sheretz to be Tameh, a source of Tameh, now Sheretz is Tameh only b'maga. You touch the Sheretz, it's gross, and you're Tameh. Okay. First statement is not halachic, second statement is. No, but the sheretz has got to be—it's got to be moist. If it's a dry sheretz, so it doesn't give off tuma. So that's what our Mishnah taught us. And the Gemara now is going to quote in the name of Reish Lakish sheretz shiavish v'shelda kayamis tameh. Well, if the sheretz is dry but it's still intact, it's going to be tameh. Now we in South Florida get to see this all the time. You're walking down the road, and you see a frog, and it's flat and it's dry, correct? And then you watch people's reactions as they walk over that frog, and they give the best facial reactions. Now, according to Reish Lakish, now again, whether the frog is a source of tumah, remember there are eight mentioned in the Torah. I don't know what the definition of eight are, but possibly a toad or frog is one of them, possibly. So, but if assuming that it's the case, is it going to give off tumah? So what we learned in our Mishnah is no, it's not, because it has to be moist. And this is really just, it's dry. But listen to what Reish Lakish says. So Reish Lakish says that if it's still in one piece, if it's still intact, it's going to be tameh. So perhaps, again, this is not, this is tumah tahara. So whether this is what I'm saying is correct or not, I like to think it's correct. But perhaps, so the dried flat frog found on the street, which is dry as a bone, but because it's still intact, you still make out the frog, it's going to be tameh, at least according to Reish Lakish. The Gemara points out the obvious problem. Aren't you arguing with the Mishnah? So the Gemara makes the following distinction. A sheretz has to be moist, but that's only if you have fragments of the sheretz. But if you have the entire sheretz, it doesn't have to be moist. It can be dry. Now the Gemara says that's a funny distinction. How did you arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara quotes the Tanya. Gemara quotes a Braisa. Am Rabbi Yisrael b'Rabbi Bisne. Am Rabbi Shema ben Yochai. Bahem. So the Torah first describes it as bahem. Bahem means the entire sheretz. Yachol bekolon tamalom or mayhem. And then in another pasuk, the Torah describes mayhem, which means some of the sheretz. Well, which one is it? Do you have to touch all the sheretz, or do you have to touch some of the sheretz? So, imayim yachol b'miksasim tamalom rebahem haketzad. So we are literally confused. Meaning, the Torah first describes bahem, which means you got to touch the entire sheretz. That does not mean that you have to actually make contact with the entire sheretz. It simply means that the entire sheretz has to be intact in order for it to be an avatoma. On the other hand, mayhem means even if you just have a frog leg, it's going to give off tumah. So the Gemara says, "Haketzad kam balach kam biyavesh." So the Gemara says, "There's a difference. If you have the entire sheretz, it's going to give off tumah even when it's dry. If you have a portion of the sheretz, it will only give off tumah if it's moist." So haketzad kam balach kam biyavesh. I'm a Rav Hani zevugei de mechuza, the frogs of mechuza. Ki shaldan kayem es tameyin. So he says what I just basically said about the frogs of Boca. But he's not talking about the frogs of Boca. He's talking about the frogs of Mechuza. The frogs of Mechuza give off Tuma, even though they're bone dry, but because Shaldan Kayem is because the carcass of it is still intact, it's going to give off Tuma. V'amar Reish Lakish. Now we're going to do this conversation again, but in a slightly different format. Sheretz Shenisraf V'shildo Kayem is Tame. If you have burnt sheretz, but it's still intact. I don't know what it means when
they,
it says
they don't really have skeletons. Do they have skeletons? Frogs have bones.
Frogs have bones.
Okay, so it could be skeletons.
Could be. V'shildo kayem is tamei meisvei nimsa sheret saruf agabe hazesim v'chein matlis hamehuha taharin shekola tameos keshas mitziyosan. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah out of Taharos, and the Mishnah over here says that if I have a sheret which is burnt and it's sitting on olives. Now, even though olives is a food and is susceptible to tumah, but because the sheretz is burnt, it doesn't give off tumah. Now, what about the fact that there may have been a history? Doesn't matter. A basic rule, we've talked about this in the very beginning of the Masechta, a basic rule when it comes to tumah is as is. As I found it, that's the way I assume it was. Even though it wasn't historically always burnt, but as is. Anyway, But the question against Reish Lakish is obvious, because here it says that because the sheretz is burnt, it doesn't give off tumah, and Reish Lakish says it does. Gemara is going to give the same answer. Am Rabbi Zera Lakasha Habakulan Habimiksasan. So the Gemara says, depends whether you have the entire sheretz or just a portion of the sheretz. Detanya Am Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisni Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai Vahem Yachol Bekulam Tamalom Emehem Imehem Yachol Bemiksasan Tamalom Rabahem Aketa Kam Besaruf Kam Beshenu Saruf. So the Gemara says, like we said before, if you have the entire sheretz and the shildo kayemes and it's still all intact and it's burnt, but you could still make out the full sheretz, good. That's the source of tuma. If I only have a fraction of the sheretz, a portion of the sheretz, so then it cannot be burnt. If it is, it's not a source of tuma. Mitamin lachim zav dichsib. Now, we said that after the first two things mentioned in the Mishnah, after that, it's all going to be tuma only when moist. Dam nida is an exception. Dam mace is an exception. Sorry. Mace is an exception. But after that, it has to be moist. Zav dichsib rar bisarel kech ven. So the Gemara quotes, these are all drashas. So by a zav, it says rar bisarel, it drips out of his body. And all the good stuff that comes out of your nose and out of your mouth has to be like spit. Spit is obviously wet. It's moist. Sheretz bimosam amarachman akein misa. Sheretz, the Torah says bimosam. Now, the sheretz has to be dead, but it has to be like it just died. Meaning, right after it died, still moist, still fresh. Shechva zera ru'uya la'azria. Now, in terms of shechva zera ru'uya la'azria, meaning it has to have potency, which means only when it's moist. Once the zera is dried up, it's no longer potent. It's no longer a source of tuma. Nevela dichsiv chiamos kein misa, and the carcass of a dead animal. It's the Torah says chiamos again, immediately post mortem, meaning not later on when it's all dried up and shriveled up, but nice and fresh. Killed meat.
And
shechva zera is the right inside of a woman. It remains potent for 3 days. Im yacholim lahashvas. By Rav Yirmi asked the following question: Tchilas of a sofa beposhim odim a tchilas alfa pishein sofa. Now, in our Mishnah, we gave a very clear definition of rehydration, meaning it's dry, but if you add a little bit of warm water under 24 hours, and it rehydrate, so that's considered lach. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yirmi asks a very detailed question, and that is the following. Does it have to sit in warm water the whole time? Or can it start off in warm water, and then obviously, after some time, the water is going to cool down? Is that okay for our definition of rehydration? Very detailed question. Tashma, the Gemara says, Tanya, Gemara quotes a brisa. Kami yehishri asam beposhim Yehuda ben Nekusa amar me'es leis tchilaso afa pishen sofo Rav Shimon Gamliel amar tzrichim shiyu poshim me'es leis. Machlok is tanayim over this question of Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya apparently didn't know the brisa, but it's a machlok is tanayim whether or not it has to sit in warm water the entire duration. Rabbi Yossi amar basna ames amar shmuel tam latame bechazai sava metame tomas rekev. Now, if the mace is dried up, so in other words, right, it comes now so dry, so it no longer gives tuma, but it gives off tumas rekif. Do you remember we talked about this a number of times throughout our masechta? I'm sure other masechtas talk about it as well. And that is that if you have human remains, which now basically decompose to the point where it gets now into dust, and you have a spoonful of that dust, it's going to give off tuma. Rashi over here writes, it gives off tuma through all three ways. Maga, masa, and ohel. Now, if you remember earlier, we did say that this only works if it decomposes without any foreign substance getting mixed in. Can't have any clothing. In other words, it has to be just human decay. Okay. Okay, you find a sheretz in your alleyway. Dead, obviously. Now, your alleyway is tame. Now, it's hard to visualize because when we say the alleyway is tame, we don't actually mean the alleyway, we mean anything that went through the alleyway is going to be tame. Now, well, the sheretz is only going to give off tuma if it actually makes contact with items. So essentially what we're saying is, and I do struggle a little bit with this, meaning we're saying that anything that went through the alleyway probably came into contact with the sheretz. I guess their alleyways were smaller. I guess their sheretz were bigger. Right. In other words, if I have this picture of this really big alleyway and a little sheretz somewhere in the corner, it's hard to imagine. So I guess we're talking about a very tight and narrow alleyway, and essentially, yes, anything that went through the alleyway is probably going to come into contact with the sheretz, and therefore deemed to be tameh. Now, I found the dead sheretz there. How long has the dead sheretz been there? I don't know. Well, the sweepers come on Monday. Now, I made that up. Okay, but you understand, I'm obviously just trying to make a point. The sweepers come on Monday. So I know now that it's probably been here. In other words, the sweepers swept on Monday, right? The town sweepers. So I'm going to have to go back to Monday. Now, it's not so bad because today's Tuesday, so, and I found the sheretz today, so I only have to go back to Monday. But what if I find the sheretz on Friday? So now, I'm going to have to go back to Monday. Anything that's been in the alleyway since today, Friday, and Monday is going to be tameh. That's exactly how the Mishnah says it. Either where there was a bedika done in the alleyway, or there was sweeping done in the alleyway. That's how far back I go. V'chein. Kesem shenimtza b'chalok. And we're going to say the same thing regarding a kesem. You have a bloodstain found on an undergarment. Now, the kesem that's found on an undergarment, same story. It's a source of tuma. It's the actual discharge of a woman. And so therefore, how far back are we going to assume that this garment is tamei? From the last time we cleaned it or checked it. Now, yes, it's an interesting point. I'm going to get to that point a little bit later on. Meaning the kesem is the rabbanan, is a daraisa. She's a nidam is the rabbanan. Perhaps, I'll talk about this later. Perhaps the kesem itself is more than that. Now, the kesem itself is metame, whether it's wet or whether it's dry. Rabbi Shimon Omer, hayavish metame lemafreya, v'alachin metame ala tshas sheyach lachzer v'liyos lach. So Rabbi Shimon says, well, it really depends. Meaning there's going to be a difference whether or not the kesem, the bloodstain, was found wet or dry. Meaning it's actually better to find it wet. I don't know if it's more appealing, but it's better to find it wet. Because if you find it dry, correct, it could have been there for a long time. But if you find it wet, well, how long ago could it have gotten here and still be wet? And Rabbi Shimon says that's exactly what you need to discover. You need to, in other words, you're right, it can only be, blood doesn't stay wet for that long. It dries pretty quickly. So if you find it wet, you only need to go back as far as it could have lasted wet, outside of the body. He doesn't give a rationale for that. I'll ask my my cardiologist over here. Blood stays wet how long outside the body?
Hour,
right? I was going to say minutes. Okay. Gemara has really lumped us right in the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, when the town sweepers sweep, what does that mean? Does that mean they sweep or does that mean they also check? Meaning, right, it's a funny question, but I do hear the question. I hear both sides very well of this question. Right, in other words, it's when their job is to sweep, are they doing so consciously? Or are they kind of just like going through the motions? And they're just sweeping. But they're not really checking. The Gemara says, my nafkamina, damar kaveh v'lo badik. Let's say they say the following. Let's say, look, yes, we swept that alleyway. But I'll be honest with you. We had the headsets on, right? We had the earplugs plugged in. We weren't really paying much attention. We just swept. Did we check the alleyway? Nah, we really didn't. So damar kabed v'lo badik, iamar cheskasa badik, sahala badik. So if you're telling me that sweeping is really a function of checking, meaning that when they're sweeping and checking, and they're telling you, yeah, we swept, but that's about it. In other words, there was no real consciousness to what we were doing. We really weren't paying much attention. So the Gemara says, so if they're telling you that, so that means basically that their sweeping resulted in nothing, meaning it didn't change the status of the alleyway whatsoever. But if the whole purpose of sweeping is just that, it's sweeping, and the act of sweeping is basically tantamount to checking, Well, they swept the alleyway, so now the alleyway, we could say, is checked. Inami, we're on the top of the next amud. The ishtakach beguma. Or, let's say like this. Let's say the sheretz was found in a little hole in the alleyway. Right? There's a little crevice in the alleyway, and that's exactly where the sheretz was found. Well, if sweeping is a function of checking, so in other words, when you're sweeping, you're also checking, so fine. So then, in other words, they're expected to have found it. But if sweeping is just that, if it's just sweeping, well, when you sweep, you don't get into the holes, and so therefore, it's just sweeping.
It's union.
Yeah. So, guma lo miskavda. And the Gemara is going to ask the same exact question when it comes to a kesem found on the garment. What do we say? That if the garment was laundered, so we can assume that before that it didn't have a kesem. Now again, the question is basically the same. When the garment is laundered, what is the woman doing the laundry with intent, meaning she's checking over the clothing, making sure to see stain, right? Put that little... Well, I don't know what that thing is called, but in other words, to get the stains out, whatever it is.
No,
not gonna, so I'm not even going to pretend like I know. So the Baruch Hashem. So the or is laundering just that? It's just laundering, but it does. In other words, but there's no real consciousness to the act itself. So lamai nafka mina damar kibas v'lo batek, where she actually says to you, "Look, I did the laundry, but." Again, didn't pay much attention to what I was doing. I just did the laundry. So if you say that laundering by definition is checking, so halabadik. I'm sorry. Sorry. If you say, other way around. If you say that laundering is also checking, and she's telling you she didn't check, so the Gemara says halabadik. But if laundering is just that, if it's just laundering, so she did it. Inami dishtakech besitra, or the Gemara says, or let's say the stain was found in not the most exposed area of the clothing, meaning it was found in a cuff, it was found under a hem. Okay, and you really had to search it out. So again, so it's really the question is repeated, just one in terms of an alleyway being swept, and one in terms of a garment being laundered. Tashma. So Rav Meir could not say it any clearer. He says that, yeah, when you sweep, you also check. It's not that sweeping is checking, is that sweeping is accompanied by checking. The imlobatko hifsidas l'mafreya, and then Rav Meir could not say this any clearer. And if you sweep mindlessly, and you don't do any checking, that is halachically nothing. It does not change the status. And it's the same thing regarding a kesem. It's not that laundering is checking, it's that when you launder, you also check. And if she says to you, you know, I laundered, but I didn't check, done. Meaning the laundering does not create any status change with the clothing. Rav Acha amar tachzor v'techavzenu. Rav Acha gives a suggestion. Well, you know what you could do? Why don't you wash it again? Im nidche mar iso. If the color fades after a second laundering, biyadu shlach kibus. So now you know that this was post kibus. V'imla biyadu shlofne kibus, and if not, you know that it was pre kibus. Rabbi Omer ainu dama kesem shlach kibus, a kesem shlofne kibus, shezem makdir v'zem maklid. Rabbi says, you know, a simple visual test will tell you if this stain was there before or after laundry. A stain after laundry is absorbed and embedded in the clothing. A stain before laundry has a thick layer over the clothing. So a simple eye test will tell you whether the stain was either pre or post laundry. Anyway, but the reason why we brought in this brisa was because of the first statements of Rav Meir, which are simply that when you clean and when you sweep, It's not that the act of cleaning and the act of sweeping is itself enough. It's that it's accompanied with a bedika. But if you don't do a bedika, it's nothing. Now, if the Tanakhama is of the opinion that if it's moist, if it's wet, it's metame, and it goes back. What about the fact that it's wet? Well, the Gemara says very simply, it could have been rehydrated, right? The blood could have been rehydrated. Sheretz nami emar yavish haya umayin afal alav. Well, why don't we make the same point regarding a sheretz? Meaning by a sheretz, why don't we simply look at it now? It's wet. Well, maybe it's been dry for some time and now it's just simply been rehydrated recently. The Gemara says, imisa da'achihu imritute imratate. So the Gemara says no. Because had it been wet and then dried and rehydrated, it just kind of crumbles. It doesn't. Sheretz does not rehydrate well. Blood does rehydrate well. Okay, and that takes us to the end. Today's we're still behind, but we did better in terms of catching up. Okay, we are going to move ahead tomorrow. Topic of Ksamim, more about blood found on the clothing. Tomorrow, Aaron, we'll discuss a little bit more about what's the status of the blood on the clothing. Is that maybe more than just a derabbanan? We'll stop over here. Rechananya menachash amaretz kachbaruch v'zakas kol afiach achir b'mtar mitzvah shenem anachafetz amantzikol yagdut ravi adir.